T-Code 2017. Good evening. Hello. Who was in my last session? The IoT session on the smart glucometer. Anybody? So brand new crowd. Exciting. I can tell the same jokes and I'll get a good laugh out of the same jokes that worked last time. Yes? All right. Fantastic. Welcome back, Alex. Hello. Okay. Thank you for looking. I appreciate it. I had asked Alex if he would find me a Coke Zero if possible, and he was kind enough to go look. Unfortunately, they were out. Oh, no. I've got some water. I was looking for caffeine. All right. So my name is Josh Holmes. I am an architect at Microsoft. And today what we're talking about is running ML inside of SQL Server. And more specifically, we're going to be talking about running Python and R, and you know the languages that data scientists use on a very regular basis inside of SQL Server, and what can we do with those two languages? Okay, so as I said, my name is Josh Holmes. You can find me pretty easily on the internet. My website is joshholmes.com. My Twitter address is Josh Holmes. My email address is josh.holmes@microsoft.com. I like to stay hidden, quiet, under the radar. Nobody knows where I am, right? Okay, so, see, that did get a laugh, see? So we're gonna do a short intro to machine learning, and then we will talk about some of the SQL Server machine learning services, and then we're going to talk some about what our customers have learned in using R and Python inside of SQL Server, and you know what are the customer learnings out of that. So, machine learning. Oh, he's a good man. Thank you so much. He brought me a Coke. It's not a Coke Zero. But it's a caffeine, and I will take it. So thank you very much. I appreciate it. So if I was to say A equals 2 and B equals 4, what is C? You can't answer because you were here last time. What is C?
Nobody knows.
What are the possibilities? Six is one of the possibilities. And most people think six immediately because if I just add two, I go 2, 4, 6. But what if I'm doing multiplication? What if it's 2, 4, 8? Or what if I'm squaring? All right, so it's 2, 4, 16. All right, so I have a chance. So what I've done here is I've given you an incomplete data set to do your training with, right? But I know what C is, okay? And so what that means is that I've given you a training set and I'm training you and you were gonna guess at what C is, okay? And so who thinks it's 6? Who thinks it's 8? Who thinks it's 32? Nobody thinks it's 32. 16, sorry, 16 for the square there. 16, yeah. It's been a long day, caffeine. All right, so if I tell you that C is 6, okay? So I'm doing addition, gonna make it easy. What's D? Eight, yes, D is 8. So now, get tricky, what's Z? Of course, this works better with a crowd that has English as their alphabet, because then they know that it's 26 characters, and so 26 times 2 is 52. No, 26. English is not your, yeah, so I'm the only one with English as their native language, right? So it's 52. But anyways, but at this point, you are a properly trained regression algorithm. you are able to look at the history and predict forward. And so if I was to say, what's D, what's E, what's F, you could do the addition and you could get there, right? So that's really, at its simplest, what machine learning is. But it's actually much more complicated than that. This is the life of a data scientist, okay? The first thing they do is they define the goal. Okay, and the define the goal is, what problem am I trying to solve? Right? And so this is sometimes data scientists will spend a year or 2 years trying to figure out what the problem is that they're trying to solve. What's the question? Right? Has anybody seen The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? Okay, one person up here. All right. Great movie, geek folklore. And the fun part is that he says in the movie, one of the big things is they have a supercomputer that comes up with the answer to everything. And the answer is 42. I said, that doesn't even make sense. The answer to everything is 42. That doesn't even make sense. Then what's the question? And they said, well, we're going to have another couple of million years to figure out what the question is. We don't know what the question is. We know the answer is 42. We don't know what the question is. So The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I recommend you watch it. It's a lot of fun. So defining the goal, what problem am I trying to solve? Right? Then, do I have the data that I need in order to start trying to answer this question? Okay? And are you able to collect it? Are you able to buy it? Are you able to, does that data exist? Don't know. So that depends on what problem I'm trying to solve. Then you figure out what data you need. Then you build the model. Okay, and there's a bunch of different types of models that are out there. I'm not going to get into all of them today because that is a full PhD to go spend the time to figure out what models there are in the world. But once you have built the model, then we're going to evaluate and critique the model. So you remember I evaluated and critiqued the model when I asked you, what's C? And some of you were saying 6, some of you were saying 8, some of you, were saying 16, just him. And so that was critiquing and evaluating the model and telling the model you're right or you're wrong. Then, is the model accurate enough? Does it actually answer the question? If so, deploy the model. However, that's not the end of it. Because then we say, does it actually solve the question? Probably not. Just that's the reality. And so we do this whole cycle again. Is the question actually correct? If it is, do we actually have the right data? Or have we collected a bunch more data? Rebuild the model, reevaluate it, redeploy it, reanalyze, am I solving the right problem? Collect the data, build the model, reevaluate, and this is an endless cycle. And this is the life of a data scientist. Okay? All right. So when we start collecting this data, there's a handful of very important terms. There is the features. Okay, and the features are that's describing the data, right? And so more specifically, it's describing the domain. Okay, and so that is the temperature, the altitude. In the case of my last talk, I was talking about building a smart glucometer, which is a diabetes device to measure the blood sugar in your system, and we were running machine learning algorithms against the time of day, how many calories they had eaten, how many, what was the percentage of carbs in their food, You know, what was their current blood sugar? You know, how much exercise had they done? Those were all the features of the work. And then the labels augment that learning data, right? And so the label, we were labeling some of this data as hypoglycemic, which is a low sugar. Some of it we were labeling hyperglycemic, which is high blood sugar. And, you know, in other cases, you know, like in photos and image recognition, we are labeling saying this photo contains a man, or this photo is a picture of a bald guy with a beard, right? And so we start describing the photo or whatever the data is, and that's the label on the data. That way we can tell the machine learning algorithm, this is what we're looking for, okay? So there's a bunch of different types of machine learning. There's unsupervised, which starts looking for clusters and associations in unlabeled data. There is supervised learning, which is using labeled data to train the actual models. But we're using machine learning in a lot of different spaces. Okay, so some were just predicting the properties of new data by learning from a particular sample. So that is, we're looking at sales in at a particular region based on historical sales. Okay, and so there's a number of things to think about if you start trying to build this type of a model. So the first is, as you're building out the historical sales list there, is the fact that I sold $100 worth of profit, or sorry, product, is that enough? The answer is no. Okay, so now, what campaigns, marketing campaigns was I running? What time of day was it? What other events were going on in the city? So if there is a big soccer match on, does that affect the sales? If it's raining, does that affect sales? And so having, you know, you have to think about what data do I have and make sure that you have the correct data for the correct time periods for the correct, to get all the historical sales so that you can predict the sales. So on a Tuesday in June, when there's a soccer match on and it's sunny, and we just ran this campaign, what are our sales likely to be? Now, just knowing that is not enough. What if I run a different marketing campaign? What if I offer a discount? What if I, you know, so you start thinking through what are all the possible scenarios there. And so that is, those are the types of things that we're trying to get to with machine learning. So one of the demos that I did in the keynote was I talked through dynamic CRM and how we're using machine learning to predict whether or not we think this customer is actually going to buy the insurance policy. And then, and we had a high possibility of churn, of them not buying the insurance policy, but a high probability if we offered them an additional 15% discount. So if we offered them a 15% discount, they would buy the insurance policy, otherwise they would move away. We're using it to predict fraud in credit card transactions. Actually, one of my coworkers, Jakob Spolstra, he actually, early in his career, wrote a lot of the machine learning models behind the FICO credit score, which is the primary credit scoring algorithm in the United States. Predicting the default of a new loan based on loan history and transaction history. Okay? Predicting sentiment of a new tweet or a review. Okay, so here we're actually doing quite a bit with sentiment analysis. We're working with a product called, or a project called Fortis, F-O-R-T-I-S. It's an open source project that my team is leading up. And we're working with the United Nations to predict violent outbreaks in high-stress areas so that we can help place humanitarian aid at the point where they need it before the outbreak actually happens. Okay, and so we're doing a lot with Sentiment there. We're also working with a German advertising company, and we are running sentiment analysis on the social media around their marketing campaigns. Okay, and so we're seeing the reactions to those, and we are predicting sentiment for the marketing campaigns based on that sentiment, based on the social media. There, it was really interesting. We identified 8 different emotions, including angst and German angst, because there's evidently a particular type of angst that is specific to Germans. I don't know why. Classifying new images. Classifying data into groups or clusters. So we're doing a lot of, there's a lot of different possibilities with machine learning. And 2 of the most popular ML programming languages are R. R is the language, not just the letter, but it's a programming language. And Python. Okay. Anybody use R in the room? Okay, a couple people. Anybody use Python? Okay, a little few more. You actually use both. Fantastic, you're rare, yes. So you'll understand all the demos, not just one set or the other. Yeah, the rest of you are too bad. I'm sorry. okay, so one of the things that was is really hard about machine learning. It's not just collecting the data and all that kind of stuff. It's actually operationalizing the models themselves. Okay, and by that what I mean is you have your data somewhere. For today's talk, we're going to have all the data in SQL Server. How many people use SQL Server? Quite a few. Good. And then we're going to go train our model. So what we have to do is we select all the data out of SQL Server, and we pull it into our model, and we train our model. Okay. Now, for the machine learning that we're doing these days, especially deep neural networks, a lot of the data that we're using, we have petabytes of data. Right? I have one customer that is producing a petabyte an hour worth of data. Now, that's per device. They have 3,000 devices. Okay? Not a petabyte. They're producing a terabyte of a terabyte an hour, times 3,000 devices, times 24 hours, times 365 days. That's a lot. That is actually the petabyte is they're producing 296 petabytes per year. They have a 7-year retention policy. That's a lot of data, okay? And so when you start looking at that, selecting that much data out of a database, that alone can take hours, right? And so, and then there's a lot of security and other things around the data, and as soon as it leaves the database, all of your security measures are up for question, right? We have no idea what's happening with those, right? And so, once we have trained that model, now we store that model back in the database, and we start writing our applications, and they start calling transactions, and but our scoring and everything else is all outside of the database. But moving that data in and out takes time, causes security issues, etc. So what we want to do, I had to draw it bigger, not just because it's a bigger database, but because there's more stuff inside of it, right? So we're actually going to train the model right inside of the database. We're going to score the model right inside of the database. And then our application logic is over here simply calling, but we never had to move the data out of SQL Server. We never had to lose all of our security permissions and other things around the data. Instead, the data stays in SQL Server completely. So we call into SQL Server here with our transaction, with our new data, saying, what do you think? Is this month going to be good sales? Is this a photo of a bald guy in a blue shirt? White shirt. You're in a white shirt now. So we're not compromising our current data or having to pull it out of SQL Server in order to do our work. So very easy to operationalize, very easy on performance, very high availability, because this is what SQL Server does. Some of our best high availability engineers at Microsoft have spent the last 10 years, 15, 20 years working on making sure SQL Server was extremely high availability, and so on. So with SQL Server, one of the things that we did last year, so this is actually 2016, we added R support, okay? And so R is the language that a lot of data scientists are using for their data manipulation and for their work. And then this year, so SQL Server vNext, this is the CTP 2.0 of the SQL Server 2017, we added right here Python support. Okay? So we now have R services. So originally we just called it R services. Now we've genericized the name, so it's machine learning services, and it's R and Python. Okay? We're looking at other things. We're going to see, how people use this, and then we'll look at what are the next languages that we should be supporting, and so on and so forth. Should we be supporting other languages? So there's a lot of things that could be coming in the future, and this is a great opportunity for you guys to step in and start using the product, and then provide feedback on what the next version should have. So. Okay, so we're going to do a bunch of demos and walk through a bunch of stuff here. So, I'll close that. Yes, I'm all up here. All right. So, full screen. Get rid of that for a minute. Sorry, I realized that I had all this open wide. So, I've got a handful of databases. Handful of databases here locally. And, but just first of all, let's just step into R and see what this does. So first of all, can I run R inside? And the answer is, I'm gonna paste, execute. Trying to figure out how to work inside this resolution. If you were nice, you would have laughed at that. All right. So here what we did is all we're doing, the simplest, dumbest R example ever. Select one as hello. So we're just selecting one as the column hello. And so there we are. We have selected the number one. And we're outputting that as a data set so that we can display it here. Okay? Should I ship this? Am I going to make $1 million on this idea? I don't think so. All right. So let's do something slightly more complex. And let's just see what packages are installed here. So there are a number of you who use R. And so as you're using R, you're using a number of different packages. So obviously base, so these are the ones that I have installed. Base, boot, checkpoint, code tools, curl, data sets, obviously, because almost everything's a data set. GR devices, lattices, matrices. Very importantly, Microsoft R. OK. Okay. And then we get down into here, and we have all the Revo stuff. And we'll be using some of these here in some of the very soon to be used demos. TCL/TK. You can also install a lot of other packages. Very easy to install packages in here. Now, I am not a R aficionado. I'm a little bit more of a Python guy, but I have done a little bit with it. So let's go make sure we have some tables to start putting some stuff into. So make sure, yep, there we go, execute. So we have a couple of things. And then we're just going to go grab some of that data. So again, not overly exciting. What we're doing in here, for those of you who caught it, is we are taking the data, which the column heading was column one, and we're transforming that to have a column heading of new column name. We can do simple data transformations and ETL work. So this is not overly exciting yet, but let's step in and take a look at one of our more complicated demos here. So what I've got here is I've got our telco database. So the telco database, this is predicting the churn in the database. Churn for a cell phone provider. Okay? And so I'm just going to copy paste our steps over here, and I'll explain them as we go. So hopefully I don't have to explain that one. We're using the telco churn database. Let's take a quick peek at what we have. So I've pre-trained some models, which will show you how we did that here in just a few minutes. But we've got a tree and a forest model. Okay. And so here, step one, I'm going to generate the forest. Okay. Let that run for a minute. And then I'll go show you the code that we use to do that. So this is, rather than just putting it here inside of the query, we can actually embed these directly in the stored procedures over here. So this one, we're running the deforest. So this one right here. So here we've generated the model. Let me show you how we did that. And this resolution is a lot of fun. All right, so it is a normal stored procedure. Okay, except that we have this here that is sp underbar execute external script. Okay, and that allows us to call out to a script engine. And so we've installed the script engine for R on the operating system. But it's going to run inside the memory space of SQL Server. Then what we do is here, the parameters for it are the language and the script. And so once we do our open little tick mark, that one, the rest of this is R. Okay? And so here, we're going to get our variable names. I'm going to get the variables that we're using to train. Step on down. Here's our RxD forest algorithm. And all the parameters for that, including formula, data, the depth of the tree, the max depth, et cetera. And then at the end, we're going to return out of the R script the model. okay? And then we return that. Okay, and so now we can go save that wherever we want to. We can, and now we have a trained model that we can go execute against. Okay? All right. So the next step, let's go score this particular model. And actually, I'm going to go ahead and score and evaluate at the same time. Okay. So the scoring here, what it's doing is it's looking at the customer. And if you remember the customer, I doubt you remember because I didn't spend a lot of time doing it. So we have age, annual income, call drop rate, call failure rate, calling number, customer ID, whether or not they were suspended at some point in time, type of education they have, gender, homeowner, marital status, monthly billed amount, blah, 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 blah. So we've got quite a bit of data here. And then whether or not they actually did churn or not. So we have a false and positive for did they churn or not. Okay. And so if I come back to here, so for each of the customers, we're saying, did they actually churn? What's the probability that they're going to churn? So we ran the same model against the training set of data, and we said, we know, but we're not going to tell you, just like I did with the what is C, what is D, right? What's the probability? And so these were low enough that we said, we predict they're not going to churn. And we checked, sure enough, these here did not churn, this one did. So this one churned, but we predicted that they would not churn. So this one is a miss. So with that, we're able to get to we had a 93% accuracy rate, and more importantly, we had a 45% recall and a F score of 58, which the F score is a combination, for those of you who don't know, it's a mathematical equation that looks at the accuracy, the precision, the recall, and it looks at the number of true positives and true negatives, meaning did they get it right, positive and negative. So anyways, and then that comes up with the F score. So, but this, where are we at? Let me bring this down. But what this allows us to do is right here, we're able to execute an external script and run through the whole thing, or run through an R script. And we can just copy paste the R scripts directly here. I'm not a R expert, but I was able to hack something together that worked mostly. So, and then, you know, the next set of steps are basically repeating what we just did, but looking at the bee tree instead of the deforest. So if I close that one, you remember, just remember the 93% accurate there. And what we'll do is I'm going to go ahead and execute the training and the model evaluation real briefly. So still running. Oh, there we are. So this one, the B tree is actually slightly more accurate at 96% instead of 93%, and a slightly better F score as well. So you can play with a different model, different algorithms, and see which one works better, and then start trying different types of data and so on and so forth. So, all right. So, embedding R into SQL Server, we did that for a year now. We've had a bunch of customers start using it. There's some really interesting things that we can do with it. But as a Python guy, I'm really excited about this next bit. And so here, we'll do the dumbest Python demo ever. Ba-ding! We have a one, we selected one. But we're actually running Python, which is very cool. So we need a couple of little tables here. Okay, so this was just SQL. So we're just inserting stuff. But the important part here is that what we have is we have a set of values that is the days of the week, and then we've got a numeric value attached to it. And so, you know, let's pretend for a moment that on Monday we sold $11.10 worth of product. Okay? Well, it's hard to do stuff with the literal strings, and so we're just going to do a simple data transformation. And so all we're going to do is going to grab our Python script. So notice that this is exactly the same as the R script, except instead of here, we put Python instead of R. Okay? And then it's just a Python script. So for those of you who have done Python, this is Python, right? For those of you who haven't done Python, welcome to Python. Very simple. So come down, and what we're going to do is we're going to create a day map where we take the literal strings and we convert it to a integer. Okay? Simple data transformation. This is a half step past hello world. So very, very simple demo. But this is something that Python is really good at, is these type of data transformations. And we execute. There it is. All right. And so you can see in the top frame, we have the days of the week. You know, so this is doing the select out of the table. And then the bottom frame here, we did the data transformation, so you can see Sunday numbers is now number 7, Monday is now number 1, Tuesday is now number 2. Pretty simple data transformation. Should I ship this and make $1 million? No. Okay. All right. So let me do something slightly more interesting. And that is, I'm going to go ahead and execute TensorFlow. Okay, and so TensorFlow is a machine learning, deep learning network, deep neural net engine from Google. Okay, and so the most popular language to program TensorFlow with is Python, and they have other languages that they support, but Python is one of the most popular ones. And so what I want to show here is we can absolutely, I just execute this here. So again, it's just language Python script import. So the script is just open tick mark there with the, you know, for the string here. And then the rest of this is just Python code. Okay, and then all we're doing is outputting hello TensorFlow. Woo! Okay, so we now have TensorFlow running inside of SQL Server's memory space. Now, how do we do that? Can you guys read that? No. I need to get up to the I'm teaching now font. Font 28. Can you read that? Better? Okay. Microsoft SQL Server. SQL Server. Python Services. And so here, We have a, what do you call it? We have a little folder here that is the Python services underneath Microsoft SQL Server. And so I've got Python installed in this folder. And so I just do a pip install right here. So pip is a package manager for Python. And so if I want to install TensorFlow, right here. And now, of course, it's going to come back and say, you already did that. Well, okay, sorry. It's going to say, you're a moron, Josh. I need to do, well, anyways. Long story short, this is how you do the pip install. And so pip install whatever Python packages there are. And, you know, whatever Python packages you need. So if you want to install CNTK, pip install CNTK. If you want to install, you know, some other Python package that you're using for some other feature, great, pip install it, right? So there are Python packages for many different types of data transformations, many different types of data visualizations, you know, et cetera. And so you can just pip install them right there. So now let's make this a little bit more real. And let's go look at a little bit, actually, you know what, I'm going to, yeah, we'll go ahead and do this one real quickly as well, because it's pretty quick. So this one, slightly more advanced TensorFlow. What we're doing is, again, we're doing our little, you know, Python language, open tick mark, import TensorFlow, and then we're just creating a 3x3 matrix and a 2x2 matrix, and then we're using a matmul op that takes the two of them and adds them together. Okay, so we're just doing a, you know, we're just bringing those down, and then we're outputting the value of the entire matrix. And so with the 3x3 and the 2x2, we execute that. Where's my 12? It should have said 12. Oh, I didn't. You know what? It's not that important of a demo. All right, so last thing. last thing in this particular one. Let's step into the rental predictions. So this is something that I think is extra cool that we can do with Python. So you've seen Python running in memory inside of the SQL Server from a lot of stored procedures. And so what I can do is I can take, and I've got a little tutorial database here. And the tutorial database, what we have, is it this one? No, it's this one here. What we have is we've got a bunch of bicycle rental data. Okay, and so it's not that one, it is this one, yes. So here's the bicycle rental data, and it is what year, what month, what day, number of rentals, what day of the week it was it a holiday or not, was it snowing or not? Okay, so those are our features in our application, or in our data, and so we'll make sure we have a clean set of models here, you know, train the model, and so we have our script defining the rental data, using sklearn, and we're using a linear model import there, and all we're doing is a simple linear regression. Okay, let me come down here and execute that. So we now have that. It was incredibly exciting to watch that work, but if you notice how fast that worked, that was 20,000 lines of data, and we were able to process that in less than a second, okay? And so now we're going to take and we're going to go insert that into our model. And so there we are. So make sure we have a clean set of data here. And we're going to go score the model. A little bit longer of a procedure here. And now, let's go take a look at the actual predictions. Okay? And so now, you can see we have a rental count predicted, 42, 42, 360, 360, 2020. So we actually have a fairly accurate little model here, and we can now start publishing services against this. It wasn't 100% accurate, like right here, 599 versus 600. It's pretty close, okay? Pretty happy with this model overall. All right. But that's not what I'm really excited about. What I'm really excited about is this next bit here, which is I've got this little Python script, and we're using sklearn linear models, using a lot of the same stuff you just saw in all the SQL that I was running inside of the SQL Server Management Studio. But there's this really cool, it's a really cool little new function called RX in SQL Server. So I have set my compute context for my machine learning to be SQL Server. And so now what I can do is, let me jump back out to my command line. It is, so Python rental underbar predictions. So I can now go execute. Wow, that is, I'm going to reduce the font because that did not format very well. That's a little bit better. Okay, so so this went, and this is the exact same data you just saw. And it went through and it made a bunch of predictions. And the predictions are exactly the same, because it's running the exact same models inside the same compute space, which is inside a SQL Server. And so this allows me to write my Python scripts and then execute the machine learning aspects of them inside of SQL Server. Is that cool, or is that, or what? I think that's cool. All right, and then there's one more thing that I want to show you here real briefly. And that is, if you guys saw the keynote, in the keynote, Dayu-san brought up this demo here, which is a lung cancer prediction demo. And he was able to, you know, go through and predict with 55% probability that this woman might end up with cancer. The very cool part about it is, and I'm not sure if you caught this, but he said that the training the model, sorry, so, waving at the guy back there. I stepped on the cord. The thing's still taped up here, but I stepped on the cord. Anyways, so the database for this is 266 gigabytes worth of photos. That's a subset of the photos. And so to train against the 266 gigabytes worth of photos, it took 32 hours if you were training on CPUs. But right here, we're doing the get CNTK model, et cetera, and right there, we have set the default device to the GPU, which means that when we train CNTK, we are training CNTK on the GPU. So the data is still inside of SQL Server, but we're leveraging the GPU for the compute and the training of the model. That's really cool and really exciting. So we can also do this with TensorFlow, with, you know, hopefully soon with Trainer or Chainer, and our other engines. I haven't actually tried it with Chainer. After seeing the demo yesterday, I'm very excited about trying Chainer. So that is one of the things that I'm going to be doing here very shortly. But we now are able to do that training of our large-scale SQL Server data on GPUs, if that's what is the thing that is necessary for us to get the speed that we need. All right, so quickly going through some of the customer learnings. Don't run R and Python scripts as they are inside of the SQL Server context, right? So you have a large number of R or Python scripts that you're used to executing in a different context. You will need to look at whether or not it makes sense to do that work in the SQL Server context or outside of the SQL Server context. So just be intelligent about it, think through it. Don't use SQL Server as the host for your Python execution for everything. That just doesn't make sense, okay? Don't embed secrets in scripts. Hopefully that one is obvious. Don't do transformations that can be achieved in SQL. Turns out that SQL Server's pretty darn good at running SQL. And so if you can do a data transformation with SQL, do it with SQL. If you can't, that's where you start bringing in bringing in Python or R. Don't try and access network resources from inside of the SQL Server memory space, okay? And similarly, don't try to process or transform files as part of the stored procedure either. It's a sandbox, and we are intentionally limiting access from the sandbox out because we could really hurt SQL Server's performance at high availability if we allowed that to happen. In Python, you know, in R, directly in the applications, do develop and test from other IDEs. One of the issues with SQL Server, stored procedures in SQL Server, is they don't work really well with your existing continuous integration, unit testing, all of the other tool sets that you use in your application development lifecycle. So leverage those tools, but then you can run what you need to over in SQL Server. Do use the SQL compute context from the client. Okay, I showed you that with the Python script and running the SQL compute part. Do the data processing and transformations inside of SQL Server. There's no reason for you to pull the data out, then transform it, if you can transform it in memory in the database and then return the sets that you need. Use the data integration of the SQL Server functionality and do your model management in the database. So one of the things I didn't talk through is, but I showed you, is the models that I have are actually stored right in the database. And I can do a lot of different things with backups and restores and so on and so forth from there. So leverage the best of T-SQL and R and Python. Use the right tool for the right job. We've now given you a bunch more tools to go use. So lots of possible things coming. I talked about, there's a lot of other things that we're looking at doing. We'd love for you guys to try out the CTP, the customer technical preview, and see what else you want on this list and vote. Currently, and this is actually one of the things I'm really excited about, is SQL Server is on Linux. I can actually run SQL Server 2017 CTP2 in a Docker container. However, ML Services is not quite there yet. So we'll get there. It's a subset, but it works pretty well. So lots of good resources. I'll be uploading the slides to the website here very shortly. But if you go to Microsoft.com/AI, that is a great starting point for all of the AI and machine learning stuff for Microsoft. So with that, feel free to reach out and ask me questions. And I'm going to run down to the speaker area. Which is there. So when you come out of the room, go to the left, and it's down at the end, okay? So anyways, please fill out your evaluations, and I assume that's what this slide says. I'm not sure. my Japanese is very bad, I'm sorry. But with that, thank you very much.